Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 248 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week to preview the Belgian and technically a Hungarian Grand Prix. Of course, if you missed out on the last podcast that went live a few days ago, go back, check it out. But Jamie, Formula One, it's finally back. We haven't even got to the summer break yet.
No, exactly. We've had the prelude to the summer break where we get to just sit and do nothing for 2 weeks, just to then sit and do nothing for 4 weeks instead. So we've got a couple of races to keep us going. And then the next four-week break, we can just talk about Belgium and Hungary on repeat. Because, yeah, and really, it's gone quiet in Formula One world. I think it all kicked off, obviously, towards the start of this break with Christian Horner sacking, Max Verstappen going to Sardinia, everything going mental. And then, yeah, it's been 2.5 weeks now of not very much action.
No, we really have had to try and scrape the barrel, haven't we? With obviously what we're talking about this week. So this week's show is actually going to be dedicated to the wives and girlfriends of Formula One drivers. Jamie's been doing his research. He absolutely
I wasn't expecting
it.
That.
we're gonna start.
That's not on my script.
We're gonna start talking exclusively about what we think. What handbag Oscar Piastri's girlfriend is going to bring to Spa, Jamie.
Are any of them single? Any of the Formula One drivers?
I would assume quite a few.
Oh yeah, they're all like kids, aren't they? Yeah,
probably. They're all like... Actually, it seems to be that the younger ones generally are end up in more stable relationships than the older ones.
Hamilton must be single.
Well, Hamilton's probably... we're not actually going to start talking about this, are we?
No, let's move on.
What I will say, Hamilton's rap sheet must be incredible. Like, it might genuinely be... He's got to be kind of top 10 in the world of people. Like, people he's been with, that list must be sensational. Fair play, Lewis. As always, top of the world. what do we actually want to talk about, Jamie? We've got a few little bits and pieces, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, because it's the Belgian Grand Prix this weekend, a circuit which everyone loves. If someone says they're not a Belgian Grand Prix fan,
they're lying.
Then they are a Belgian Grand Prix fan.
Yep.
And yeah, it's a shame that this isn't the race after the summer break anymore, as we've said many times this season. But we still have it on the calendar, which is good news
for now.
For the time being.
For now, yeah. 2027, I'm not looking forward to that. Although Belgium is a weird one as well, because it missed so many years, or I say so many years, I think it missed 2 years in the early 2000s as well. So it was a little bit of a weird one anyway.
It's a bit on and off, isn't it? Maybe that's why it's so good, because it's not like a Bahrain where you just have it without fail every year. There's always a bit of uncertainty.
Yeah, but Bahrain's a good race though as well.
Bahrain is a good race,
modern classic. But it's not Belgium. It is not Belgium, that is for sure. You're going to get me set on my rant once again. I still firmly believe Silverstone, Monaco, Monza, Belgium all deserve or should have in place a system that basically means they should be able to get permanent contracts. Like, as long as they meet certain clauses, I don't see...
For as long as they want it, yeah.
Exactly, I don't see why
viable.
They shouldn't always be on the calendar. You know, you can bin... The fact we're going to have Miami until 2042 and we might not have Belgium goes to show just how down the potty this sport has become. But...
That is a shame. This is also the venue where you and I first met.
It is.
Which is
it is, and we've only met
crazy.
Once since in person.
Really? Wow!
I think we've only ever met twice, haven't we? Once at Belgium and once.
Yeah,
on
one
holiday.
Of them was for a week.
We've
long.
Never even met in the UK. I've never seen you in this country.
Wow, that is crazy. Actually, we should probably arrange something.
When we get the podcast up and running in the studio, hopefully I might see JB183, but not holding my breath.
Yeah. The joke's on you, I only exist abroad. So.
Fair enough. Honestly, well, Jamie, remind us again why we are doing a podcast next week. I suppose you're not abroad.
Oh, I'm not abroad. I'm in the Lake District for a week, so helping on a summer camp. So I won't have the time to record, sadly, next week. But I will be back to review the Hungarian Grand Prix. Hence, we're going to make previews of both of Belgium and Hungary right now.
Yes, yeah, and that's going to be a little bit more difficult for Hungary, but we shall see how we get on. Ferrari, they're bringing some upgrades this weekend, Jamie. Apparently they've tested some new rear suspension. Normally, I'd be very pessimistic because it's Ferrari trying to bring upgrades to a Formula One car. But, and I don't want to speak too soon, the last upgrade for Austria does seem to have worked.
Yeah, and Ferrari, you're probably the second fastest car. It's hard to tell what Max is doing and what Red Bull are doing.
To be fair, Mercedes have often been second fast as well. Again, you're kind of in that weird spot, a bit like 2023, weren't we, where a lot of teams are second fastest, there's just a clear fastest car.
Yes, exactly. But the Austria upgrade has definitely worked. Obviously, Leclerc got a podium at Austria. Am I remembering that wrong?
I believe so, yeah. Because remember, it was McLaren out in front and then Ferrari out in front of everybody else as well. Like, Ferrari were closer to
Max
McLaren than anybody
up.
Else was to them.
So, yeah, you never know. Obviously, Leclerc had a shocker at Silverstone and Lewis Hamilton still has no podiums this season, whereas Nico Hülkenberg does have a podium, just to remind everyone.
And mad that was the last race.
Yeah, I'm still just happy thinking about it. Life has taken a positive upturn since that race.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Nico Hülkenberg, your most recent podium finisher in Formula One. Still waiting to get sprayed by some McLaren drivers, but
I beg your pardon. Fair enough.
Do you not see those bother spraying with any champagne?
Yeah, they were too busy having their own temper tantrum, to be honest.
Yeah.
Jamie, you're actually on quiz duty this week, but I'm going to ask you a quick question. I'm actually going to ask you three quick questions. Who has the most wins in Formula One?
Lewis Hamilton.
With how many?
105. 105, is it?
It was his last win here last year, wasn't it? Because everybody forgets he won Belgium as well. Who has the most second places ever in Formula One?
What a stupid question. It's probably Lewis Hamilton as well.
It is Lewis Hamilton.
For longevity.
I believe he's got 50... I've either got 53 or 57 in my head. Jamie183, who has the most third places in Formula One?
I think this is Kimi Raikkonen.
It is Kimi Raikkonen.
There we
go.
What a guess.
Which is bizarre because I can't think of many races Kimi finished third in.
Well, he got 100 podiums in his career, didn't he? And he didn't actually win that many races.
No, he only... I think... Well, not that many. I think he won like 20, didn't he?
20. Yeah, 20 race wins.
Yeah.
But that means 80 second or third places.
Which is quite an impressive tally when you think about it.
Yeah, he was just often driving the second fastest car or the third fastest car in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, odd. Do you know who has the most fourth places in Formula 1?
I would assume it's Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, I actually don't know. But Hülkenberg only has three, so I highly doubt that. What I was going to say, speaking of... I've lost it. It's never mind. The segue's gone. speaking of Nico Hülkenberg, Sauber, they could be on the up.
Could they?
Are we going to see consistent Sauber podiums for the rest of the season?
I think Sauber podiums is a bit bold. But, I mean, well, we've got three championship battles we wanted to talk about today, haven't we, Jamie? So I guess you've kind of segued this into the first one of those. There's kind of three battles that I think everybody needs to be keeping their eye on towards the end of the season. That, of course, first of all, is obviously Lando versus Oscar. Second of all, we've picked out Max versus George because that one could be very beefy. And third of all, you could, I think, genuinely make the argument right now that any of the teams from fifth down could finish fifth this year, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, yeah, we've actually got quite a lot to keep watch for in the second half of the season. Obviously, we are exactly halfway through now.
Once we've
we
done
will
the
be
sprint.
After the sprint race. Yep. Wait, is that true? Aren't there six sprints?
Yeah, and there were four. We'll have done we've three.
Done... Have we done two of
them?
We've
already done two. Yeah.
China. Oh, and Miami. Yeah, of course.
They only give Europe one sprint race a year.
Well, good. Keep them away. yeah, we have got quite a lot to watch. Shall we start with the constructors?
Let's do the constructors. It's probably the most wide open one, isn't it? Williams, 59 points. Kick Sauber on 41, courtesy of that podium, of course, last weekend. V-Carb and Aston Martin both on 36. Haas on 29. Alpine on 19.
Yeah, so 40 points separating 5th and 10th.
Which sounds like a lot, but when you consider that Alpine last year got 33 in Brazil alone... goes to show that all it takes is one crazy race, and you're right back in it.
And even in Silverstone, Gasly got 6 points, and Williams got not many at all. So, again, pretty mental race that. But the problem for Alpine is they've only got one driver scoring. They are basically the Red Bull of the midfield.
The only way Alpine get that fifth place is if they bring Bottas in.
Yeah, or someone who isn't going to crash and score no points every week. Yeah, because if Gasly's got 19 points in the first half of the season, let's say he gets another 20 in the second half of the season, then they really need a second driver to be getting like another 20 as well. And then they're in with a shout, at least of getting up the order and not finishing last. But I think the big one is probably Williams against Sauber, to be honest, because I'm not being biased here.
I think you are.
The form that Sauber have shown, particularly Hülkenberg has shown, since Spanish Grand Prix upgrade has been insane.
He's
still the sixth top scorer since the Spanish Grand Prix in Formula One, I think.
Yep.
Fifth or sixth, ahead of Max Verstappen.
Yep, we love it.
Sauber have scored more points than Red Bull in that time, obviously Bortoleto adding the 4 points from Austria. And Williams have not been the top scorers in the midfield, I think, since, I want to say Miami, maybe that's a bit too long ago, but they haven't been, you know, it's not always been the same team outscoring them, but definitely Sauber have had their weekends at the top of the midfield.
I'm pretty certain Williams did well at Imola as well, or they were going to do well and then Albon got screwed, I feel like. Alex Albon Williams finished fifth in Imola.
Okay, yeah. So Williams have definitely had a very, very strong start, but more recently they've been troubled with reliability, with bad luck a lot for Sainz, to be fair to him. And yeah, that's really allowed Sauber to close it up. It's only 16 points.
18.
And the rate... Oh yeah, sorry, good maths. The rate of which Hülkenberg and Bortoleto, if he can keep on finding his feet in race pace, certainly, that could be one to watch. And I, for one, hope that, you know, this could be the opening of the floodgates and we might see a couple more Nico Hülkenberg podiums. We never know.
Do you honestly think Hulk's going to get a couple more podiums this year?
Maybe not a couple more. He might get one more. Another crazy race,
fair
why
enough.
Not?
Yeah, fair enough. We normally get at least one or two crazy races a year. I think you could make the argument that Australia and Silverstone might have been those two now. But you never know. We have got a chance of rain this weekend at Belgium as well, so that can make things quite spicy. I think it's a little bit difficult to say that Williams suddenly aren't going to be there anymore, because obviously Imola, they came 5th and 8th, if I remember correctly, which is obviously after Miami. After that, Monaco's always a little bit of a weird one. Barcelona, they had a stinker. Canada, if I remember correctly, Sainz obviously then got held up again by Hadjar, but still was able to get into the points by the end of the weekend. Austria was obviously just a disaster, and then Silverstone as well. Sainz, I believe, was on for points, and it never got picked up on the TV feed, but Leclerc just wiped him out.
One of the Ferrari's own issue at Stowe, wasn't it?
Yeah, and took Sainz with him. So I think you can make the argument that had Williams been a little bit luckier, they could probably be upwards of 80 points by now, had a few more things gone their way. And
maybe
we wouldn't be discussing it if they had twice the points of Sauber. Because it has often
since
the Sauber have picked up points from Williams.
Since the Spanish Grand Prix, Williams have scored a combined 5 points.
Yes.
And Hülkenberg alone has scored, 31?
Yes.
So as a team, they've scored 35.
Yeah.
So if that, you know, yes, there's luck involved, there's unreliability involved, but if that form continues, then it won't be long until Sauber ahead.
If you had to put money on it then, Jamie, Williams will kick Sauber by the end of the year, which one are you saying?
I would say Williams, but that doesn't align. That doesn't go with my hopium that kick Sauber will be the best of the rest.
Exactly. Give us some hopium.
I think Racing Bulls will probably just be about there. Aston Martin might... Aston Martin have been generally quite unlucky this season. Obviously, Alonso's lost fifth place at Monaco. The race before, he had reliability as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Aston Martin will probably be there or thereabouts. I think, if I'm honest, I think it would be Williams, Sauber, Aston, Racing Bulls, Alpine, Haas, on the basis that Alpine get Bottas in.
That's a very big basis, isn't it? Because apparently, obviously, if Bottas is going to Cadillac next year, then Alpine can't get him for some reason. So
yeah,
wait and see
rather,
how that works.
I think Cadillac would rather just have Bottas in the team now, and not have him driving for Alpine.
Be distracted, exactly. I mean, it is a weird one, isn't it? Because as you said, you know, VCarb have shown flashes of brilliance. Austria, obviously, with Liam Lawson. Monaco for both drivers as well. Aston Martin again. they have been a bit unlucky. They could easily be sixth, I would say. Like, they've lost out on quite a few points this year that could put them up around the same total as Williams are on at the moment. I think, like we said, though, you're looking potentially, aren't you, at Haas and Alpine might be a little bit more disconnected from the rest. But again, you feel Alpine have only had one car all season long.
Yep.
And Haas have just been a bit weird. It feels like they've kind of slipped more recently. Again, they had a couple of really good races. Shanghai, for example, back at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Obviously, they got helped a little bit by others getting disqualified. But, you know, they've kind of... Haas have done, like, the typical Haas thing of showing flashes of brilliance and looking like they could be top of the midfield. But, I mean, then you look at kind of, like, one of their best circuits historically has been Austria. And if I remember correctly, they didn't do that well there.
Ocon got a point.
Yeah.
But, which is actually quite good. But, yeah, I think Haas are just really inconsistent, and you can see that in their results. That, yeah, the 5th and 8th at China was amazing. And then Ocon's got a 7th, an 8th, a 9th, a 10th at random circuits with no consistency.
Yeah.
But he is 10th in the championship in the drivers, exactly. Somehow.
Exactly. It's like, one of those weird things, isn't it?
Yeah. Haas, I just don't think they have consistency to challenge the likes of, well, Williams or Kvyat now, or Vicov, to be honest, because they're a lot more consistent across the board, aren't they?
No.
And Isaac Hadjar. Is he actually get knocked out in Q1? That's quite an impressive stat.
It is very impressive for Isaac Hadjar, to be fair to him. He has been a little...
And he's probably on his way to Red Bull, unfortunately.
Unfortunately
for
Isaac Hadjar, yeah, he probably is.
I think Tsunoda's binned, according to many media reports, at the end of the season.
Can we see Tsunoda going elsewhere? He's one of those odd ones, isn't he? Where I feel like, well, we might, if Tsunoda went now, we'd look back at him on 10 years, go, oh, he was so underrated. And then when you actually watch him back, you go, was he though?
Yeah, he'd be a decent midfielder, but he's not a front runner. But I reckon if he went now, if he was out of Red Bull, he'd probably just hang around for the Aston Martin Honda when it comes about, when Alonso leaves.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is a trick.
He'd probably off the grid in 2026 and then come back, I reckon.
Yeah, it could happen. Could happen, couldn't it? I guess the good thing is you haven't really got any other big talents coming out of Japan at the moment. You know, that could kind of be their next wonder boy.
Ayumu Iwasa.
Not
what's he doing these
Iwasa's
days?
Iwasa's back in Super Formula now.
Oh, well. He had a decent run in F2.
He did have a decent run in
F2. A couple
of
years ago.
But unfortunately, not good enough. I mean, no. Yeah, he's one of the... Because then again, you think, obviously, we're pretty certain, aren't we, now, that Lindblad is coming in next year, aren't we, to a V-carb, of course. Is it, obviously, Lawson apparently is looking to extend his contract with him. I'll be honest, I think if you're another team, Lawson could... I mean, you'd want to try and target Hadjar more, but I think he could be off to Red Bull. I think Lawson could be a high-risk, high-reward shout for another team. Like, he could go to an Alpine or something.
He's a bit of a Kevin Magnussen, in a good way. In that, like, when it falls his way, and on his good days, he'll just get your car to the front of the midfield and just abuse people out of the way.
Yep.
Whereas, like, you know, 75% of races, he might be losing to his teammate and somewhere like 14th causing damage and getting penalty points. But the races where he's on it, he's really on it.
When he's good, he's damn good kind of thing, wasn't it, with K-Man?
Yeah.
I mean,
I do like Liam Lawson. He's got a good personality.
How many races did it take Hulkenberg to get a podium?
239.
How many races did it take K-Mac to get a podium?
One.
There you go.
But how many races did Magnussen do since? How many races did it take to get pole position? That's the real question.
Yeah, pole position gives out so many points.
Do it in your rookie season. Everyone loves you.
Well, and remind me what happened after his rookie season.
Some money from Venezuela.
He got
took
sacked
seat.
For Pastor Maldonado. How many Formula
Where
One
is he
drivers
now?
Can
He's them? Not standing on the podium at Silverstone, is he?
What is Pastor Maldonado up to? Yeah, but Pastor Maldonado also has a win, which neither Magnussen or...
Yeah, how? Because
they definitely had traction control that weekend.
Yeah, active suspension return from the 1992 season.
Yeah, they definitely had something going on with that. There's no way that car is legal, and then it just so happens that everything burns down.
And then it blew up, yeah. Funny that.
What is Maldonado? The last racing he was doing was LMP2s at IMSA back in 2019. Has he retired from racing?
So who had the last laugh? Was it the 2011 Williams driver or the 2010 Williams driver?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out. what has Matt Harlow done recently? He's just given up.
We should get him on the show.
We could, I reckon.
Yeah, what else have we got to talk about? Oh, Drivers' Championship.
Yes.
We'll start with George against Max, because that one is juicy. And there's obviously, no one's really bothered about who finishes third in the Drivers' Championship, but people are bothered.
But you get to go to the FIA Prize Gala, Jamie.
I bet Max is probably trying to avoid
probably, yeah,
finishing third
George
in the championship
suffer with
in that,
that
way. But yeah, I think the needle between these two has been cooking, really, since Baku in 2023.
Yeah.
In that sprint race. But obviously, it's massively exploded recently with the, with all the talk about the seats and who's going to be driving where next season. So, yeah, this will be handbags, because the more they race on track, I just feel like when Max sees George, it's just like red mist season.
Oh, absolutely. As I've said before, I think George Russell is one of the only guys that actually gets under Max Verstappen's skin.
Yeah, he does. I think Max really doesn't like him that much.
No.
Whereas, you know, when Max and Lewis were racing really, really hard back in 21, I think there was still respect between Max and Lewis. Like, obviously, Max was doing all he could to try and win, but it wasn't because he didn't like Lewis as a person. Whereas now,
yeah.
I can see the scenario where Max and George are racing for P4, P5, and Max is still going his absolute hardest to try and beat him because he doesn't like him at all.
Yeah, I think there's more anger there than anything else. I think there's still a little bit of, I wonder if there's a little bit from Max as well, and I could be wrong, because again, I know we feel differently about this, but I think he talks so much about how much he doesn't care that I'm always kind of there going, you just make me think you care a lot more than you're letting on, mate. I wonder if there's still a bit of an element that he's been the dominant driver for the last 2 years, and still Hamilton, despite, I think, Formula One trying to shift the image a bit more, Hamilton is still the face of the sport, isn't he? Hamilton is the driver everybody knows about. He is. If Formula One did, what do they do? They call it in NASCAR, I can't remember what it's called now. Most Popular Driver Award. Lewis would probably win it most years.
If it depends who they polled, but yeah.
No, every.
Because I feel like the people who watch the sport now. Yeah, but the fans of the sport, it's less about Lewis now, but the general public, like, if you ask, I don't know, 100 people on the street to name a Formula One driver, they're going to say Lewis Hamilton,
exactly.
Mostly.
Exactly.
And that is because we live in the UK, obviously, but even
around
the world.
But I think that's a more global thing anyway. I'm sure if you come from Japan, you're more likely to know Yuki Tsunoda than, say, someone from Brazil would more likely know Gabriel Bortoleto. But Hamilton is...
Ayrton Senna, probably still the most popular in Brazil.
Probably, well, yeah, I would have thought so. But Hamilton is still, like, kind of the face of the sport for a lot of people.
But what does this have to do with Max and George?
Well, my point was, obviously, you were there obviously talking about kind of rivalry and beef. George Russell also, again, for the general public, plays the media side quite well. You just know...
Yeah, he's a bit of a golden boy, isn't he?
Yeah, you just know, like... He's kind of like your quintessentially British, kind of how I view Jamie183, you know, a little bit kind of, you know, kind of suckers up to old
what?
People, kind of, you know.
Well-spoken,
or
posh.
Well-spoken, a bit posh.
You get to know they're a bit horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get to scratch below the surface. You just think, yeah, you're trying to just kiss the behinds of the right people. Which I think George Russell does very well.
And that reminds you of me, does it?
That's, a little bit, yeah. You're absolutely right.
There we go. But yeah, that'll be one to watch. Obviously, Toto Wolff is flirting with the pair of them at the same time at the moment.
Well, apparently, Antonelli could end up at Alpine if they decided to go with Max and George.
I called it at the start of the season that Antonelli wouldn't have a Mercedes seat in 26. That's all I'm saying.
I
thought they'd signed Sainz, but there we go.
I just want to see Antonelli and George staying there, honestly. I want to see
think for 26,
Max
that's
have to
most
suffer
likely.
A bit of Red Bull downfall, personally. I don't want to see him get absolutely dragged down with a sinking ship to, like, you know, battling the sixth in the constructors or something like that. But I want to see him get a, you know, I think every Formula One driver kind of should have to suffer a little bit with a team they've been given a lot of success with.
What, like Lewis Hamilton has in his whole career?
With Mercedes during the ground effect era? Absolutely. With McLaren through 2010 through 12? Absolutely.
In a team that finished second and third in the Constructors?
Absolutely. When you're a multiple world champion, you only want to be fighting for wins. And it can't always happen.
And Hamilton won in every season up until 2022.
Exactly. So he's had to suffer recently. Just because he can still chalk away victories, Jamie. Just because he's so goated.
He can't chalk away podiums this season, can he?
Well, not yet. But give it time. let's talk about the big one, though, Jamie. Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris. 8 points in it as we head to Belgium. I think a lot of people would try and make out that gap is bigger than it is. Because Lando has quietly chalked together a couple of good races recently. Although Silverstone, he was a bit lucky still to kind of be handed that win.
Yeah, on reflection, I think that penalty was harsher than I first thought.
Yeah, because that would mean that Oscar would be on 241 and Lando would be on 219, which is a much
bigger swing. It's a
14-point
swing.
Exactly. I think these next two races could be championship-defining. Whoever goes into that summer break with a bit of momentum behind them will surely feel confident. Heading into the second
half. Well, Oscar needs to stop the rot in a way. I know that sounds a bit ridiculous after so many race wins early doors, but currently Oscar's on one win in six at the moment.
Yeah. He should have won Silverstone.
Lando's. But then he didn't.
No,
like,
I do understand.
It's all well and good that he should have.
Yeah.
Lando's on two wins in a row, obviously three out of five, including Monaco, which was a few races ago.
Yep.
If Lando goes and wins Belgium and Hungary, for instance.
This was my point, yeah.
Yeah, suddenly he's got loads of momentum. Four wins in a row, going to summer break. Like, Oscar needs to make sure he finishes ahead of Lando in one, if not both, of these next two races.
This was exactly what I was going to say. If it goes one apiece, you think wide open towards the end of the season. I think if Oscar wins both of them, Lando might well be buried. If Lando wins both of them...
that's premature.
It's premature, but you think Lando will just sit there and simmer all summer thinking about it. Whereas Oscar will just kind of play iRacing and do what he wants. if one of them wins, one of them wins both races, that driver will be world champion. If it goes one apiece, I think it will go to Abu Dhabi. And I guess that's the only kind of hypothetical.
What if Max Verstappen wins both? Is he going to be champion?
No. George Russell will be champion if Max wins both.
I get the feeling this championship's going down to the wire. I really think these drivers are so well matched and they've got different strengths, but they are both on pace pretty much there or thereabouts.
I guess the weird
and
thing
they're,
is
they're right, very hard to separate.
The weird thing is, isn't it? I think is that Oscar, I think even on the back foot, I think could drag it to Abu Dhabi, but Lando would be the kind of guy that would build up like a 28 point buffer with like five races in a row and then choke it all by himself still. Like you could see Lando somehow like leaving Texas with a 30 point lead. And then somehow still throwing it away by Abu Dhabi.
I just think, it's going to the wire. I don't see that gap ever getting more than a race win. Has it been over there, a race win?
Yes.
I don't think it has.
It was prior to Austria.
Really?
I'm pretty certain, wasn't it?
Well, that's come down by 14 and it's now 8. So yeah, it was 26 points prior to Austria.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see it expanding much more than that over the course of the season, which is really good news because we're probably going to get a championship decider, which hasn't happened in, obviously, since 2021, which was a great championship decider.
It was terrible, but yeah, okay.
I do like the pair of them. I think I'd rather Piastri win it. I think Norris is overrated and a bit overhyped, but I've met him. He's a nice guy, so I wouldn't hate it if he wins the world championship. But yeah, I think we're in for a treat, to be honest, for the rest of the season.
Fair play. Jamie hypes it up a little bit more than I do. I think it'll end up being wrapped up in Qatar. Because what will happen is it'll be wrapped up in the Qatar sprint. Because all ground effect era championships get wrapped up at the Qatar sprint for some reason nowadays. If the Qatar sprint race exists, championships is decided there. So Oscar will leave a Qatar sprint with a 53-point championship lead or something eggy.
There we
go. Nothing beats Formula One titles being decided on a Saturday.
Do you want to do your quiz?
I could do my quiz. Let's do the quiz.
Because you're going to like this one.
Am I? You say this
now?
Yeah,
for sure. Richard, for sure. This is the first race that we're going to since Nico Hülkenberg. No, not that quiz this time. This is the first race in Formula One where Christian Horner hasn't been Red Bull boss.
Yes, since 2004 Brazil.
Precisely. So all you've got to do is name any of the 17 Grand Prix finishers.
Okay. So
from that race,
Juan Pablo Montoya won that race.
He did.
Rubens Barrichello got on the podium in that race.
He did.
The only Brazil podium for Barrichello. I'm going to say Raikkonen was second. He was less than a second behind JPM in the end.
Actually, that's not true. It was 1.022.
Oh, fair enough. So he was a second behind. I believe Coulthard was like lapped, like down in like P13 or something. He had a terrible
thing. Where is DC? Oh yeah, there he is.
Yeah, he had a terrible.
I was
final
looking for
race
a Scottish flag, but obviously he's British. So.
Yeah, great British. Schumacher, I believe, came eighth.
Seventh, he's there.
Definitely there. Ralf Schumacher obviously was there with Williams. I'm trying to think like who would have retired from that race. Because we were only down.
There are only three retirements. I know there are only three. But they are all quite well. There's quite well known drivers. So
that's what I'm a little bit scared about. Because I got no idea who those three would be. So I'm just trying to think sensibly. I mean, I could probably name all of the drivers there.
Do it. That's the quiz.
Yeah. I'm going to say Jarno Trulli.
Yes. P12.
I'm going to say, I feel, did Fernando finish? I hope so. Maybe he didn't.
Yes, he did. Okay. P4.
Oh, P4, okay. Fisichella?
Yes, P9. In a Sauber, well done. Yeah. It's not P3 though, is it?
No. Mark Webber?
Is one of the retirements, unfortunately for you. Annoying. There we go. Was that not the race? Oh, no, that was the year after. It was Brittany's in the wall, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Rosberg was... No, Rosberg was 06.
Oh, yeah, Rosberg was 2 years later when he was teammates with Webber.
Yeah.
Mark Webber.
I just don't remember like much about that race.
Well, I don't know anything about the race.
So you just picked a random race.
There you go. I picked the last time Christian Horner wasn't boss.
I mean, you've got to be impressed with my little bit of knowledge there with your podium and things like that.
Yeah, that was good. 2004 is... It predates my F1 knowledge, so I wouldn't have a clue. So right. Well done.
Thank you.
Mark Webber retired along with Nick Heidfeld in the Jordan.
Yeah.
And Jenson Button in the BAR. There you go.
Oh, see, I had a suspicion that Jenson retired. But
you got all the point scorers other than Sato and Felipe Massa.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have got. No, I would have got them at some point, but yeah. Wouldn't have been. I would assume. I always just assume Sato would have binned it. In pretty much any country. It's always a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, it's a fair bet, isn't it, really?
Right.
Timo Glock driving for Jordan that race as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Heifeld and Glock, a bizarre Jordan lineup.
Great lineup. Proper midfield heritage.
Proper, yeah, proper midfield glory days. Come on then, Jamie. Belgium and Hungary predictions.
Yes.
What are the scores on
and
the
Belgium's
doors?
A sprint.
Belgium is a sprint. So there's effectively we're doing 18 points worth of predictions.
Yeah, and there's 3 points in it, so much like the McLarens, our battle is going down to the wire.
Our battle is raging on.
It is. So you get to go first.
Yep.
Excuse me.
I'm going to say...
And it might rain.
It might well rain. It could be
Pirelli
really
are bringing C1, 3 and 5. 1, 3 and 4, sorry, this race.
Let me just double check
what
the weather's doing.
I want it to be dry because the tyre strategy will actually be good. Because, the C3 and 4... Well, the C4 just won't work at Belgium. And the C1 will just be way too cold. So they're going to have to do 2 or 3 stops if it's dry. But if it's wet, it doesn't matter.
Well, Saturday they now reckon it's not going to rain. Sunday they reckon it's going to rain. Friday they reckon it's going to rain. I'm going to say...
Could be in for another 2021.
Yeah. So we do sprint winner, don't we? Pole and then top three. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say...
Indeed.
Oscar Piastri, sprint win. I'm going to say George Russell on pole. I'm going to say George Russell, race winner.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to say Oscar P2, Lando P3.
Right. So for Spa, you say it's wet Friday, which is when sprint quali is.
Yep.
Dry Saturday, which is sprint race and proper quali.
Yeah.
And wet Sunday.
Yeah.
And you haven't put Verstappen anywhere near any of those places.
Yes.
So I'm going to say...
What happened in the last wet race? Sorry, Jamie, just remind me.
He finished fourth in probably the seventh fastest car.
No, he got pole. So that's... And they set up the car terribly.
Yeah, because they put a car in no downforce. You know, so he might have not a rear wing.
You want to know a fun fact actually about his pole lap? It was the first time ever someone maintained a 300 km/h minimum speed through cops. That's just how little crazy wing that car was running.
Because he had no downforce at
exactly
all.
Exactly.
But you know what? I'll take a Verstappen error of spinning off because it gave Hülkenberg a podium. There we go.
Fair enough.
I will say Max Verstappen will win the sprint race.
Okay.
I will say Lando Norris will get pole position.
Okay.
He's always gone well at Belgium.
Well, he normally bins it, but yeah.
Well, he would have got pole in 21 in the wet, didn't he?
But he binned it.
Binned it, yeah, very badly. Norris, race win. Piastri, second. And it would be funny just to put Hülkenberg back, but he's not going to get it.
Go on, do it. Yeah.
Charles Leclerc, why not? Ferrari upgrade.
Yeah, forgot about Ferrari.
Then Hungary, let's rattle this real quick. You go first.
I'm going to say Lando, Oscar, Lewis.
Lewis Hamilton.
Hungary, man, come on.
Whoa, at Silverstone he had a 14-year streak and he got ended by Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah, I know, but still, I think Ferrari...
For Hungary, I will say Piastri... Norris, Verstappen.
Fair enough. We've got a lot of predictions in.
We do. We're going to have a lot. One of us could be, 20-odd points clear of the other.
You could be 20-odd points clear of me, yeah.
By the next podcast, yeah.
Which would be quite an impressive stat. I like it. I really would. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything we needed to quite well.
Yeah, I think that's it.
As we said, apologies in advance. Jamie183 can't record next week. It's a bit of a shame.
No.
So I guess...
Football's coming home, though, so it's all good.
Is it? Fair enough. I mean,
yeah, the Lionesses.
I'm just going to put this out there. I don't care whether football comes home for the men either. It isn't a sexism thing for me. I'm not one of those people, it's women's football, it's not real, or anything like that. I just don't care about football. Or Wimbledon, for that matter.
Fair enough.
So, there we are.
Wow, you really are uncultured. I'm just going to put that out there.
How am I uncultured? I like NASCAR. That's culture for you, Jamie.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you drop a sub, drop a follow, all that good stuff. I guess you don't need to anymore. As long as no one unsubscribes, it doesn't really matter what happens anymore. We've got to 1K. That's all that matters. Jamie and I will return at some point. It's going to be near enough 2 weeks, I guess. It's going to be quite scary.
Yeah, it'll be a week on Monday. Mad.
Crazy. Look after yourselves. Stay safe. Jamie and I will be back very soon to review. Probably, we'll just end up most likely reviewing the Hungarian Grand Prix.